بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the statement of the author, أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلْ يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُصُ, that Iman, it is statement and action, it increases and it decreases. And to revise the last lesson, first, who amongst you has memorized in Arabic and or English the definition of Iman according to Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah? So Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they have a particular definition of Iman which is comprehensive to refute all of the deviant definitions. Has anybody memorized what is mentioned? Move forward. Naam. Tafadhal. Al-Iman al-Inqiyadu
bil-Qalb.
Al-I'tiqadu bil-Qalb.
Al-I'tiqadu bil-Qalb. Wal-Qawlu bil-Lisan. Wal-Amalu
bil-Jawari.
Al-Jawari.
Yuzidu.
Yazidu bil-Ta'a. Wal-Yankusu bil-Ma'siya. Wa huwa bid'u wa shu'batu.
Bid'u wa sab'una shu'bah.
قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق
والحياء
شعبة من الشعبة شعبة
الإيمان. أحسنت, فتح الله عليك. Anybody else? The Arabic definition.
الإيمان اعتقاد بالقلب وقول باللسان والأمر بالجوارح ويزيد بالطاعة.
نعم, يزيد بالطاعة. Turn his book over. أيوة. يزيد بالطاعة وينقص بالمعصية. والحياء شعبة من شعب الإيمان. And in English, anybody knows in English? The net definition of Iman according to Ahlul Sunnah in English. Suleiman?
It's a belief of the heart statement.
Qasim, close his book. Aywa. It's a belief of the heart.
Statement of the tongue.
Statement of the tongue.
Action of the limbs.
Action upon the limbs.
Increases with obedience, decreases with disobedience.
Naam. It's 70 odd.
70 odd verses. Highest being La ilaha illallah. Lowest being removing something from the heart or from a path. And
of Al-Iman. Ahsant. So this is what we studied last week amongst other issues. In this lesson we come to the saying of the author, وَالْقُرْآنُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ بِجَمِيعِ جِهَاتِهِ. And the Qur'an is Kalamullah. The Qur'an is the speech of Allah. غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ, it is not created. بِجَمِيعِ جِهَاتِهِ, in any of its forms, in any of its modalities or any of its forms. And this is what Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, the Salaf, the Imams of the Salaf, this is what they used to say, that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, meaning it is the real speech of Allah. غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ, and it has not been created. Why has it not been created? Because it is the speech of Allah. And the speech of Allah is an attribute from the attributes of Allah. So Allah in His that is not created. Allah in His names is not created. Allah in His attributes is not created. So because kalam, speech, real speech, according to the majesty of Allah, because it is an attribute of Allah, therefore it is not created. And when we say real speech, then Ahlul Sunnah, they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks. And He speaks with speech, and speech which is heard. However, the speech of Allah is not like the speech of the rest of creation. It is according to His majesty. And Ahlul Sunnah, they believe this with every single attribute. Every single attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we affirm it according to its apparent meaning. And it is, we don't equate it to the rest of creation, and we say it is according to the majesty of what befits the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even amongst humans, all of us have speech and all of us have voices, but the speech of one is not like the speech of another, and the voice or the sound of a human is not like the voice or sound of an animal. So if there is a difference between the speech of humans and the speech of animals, and both of them are created, then how about the speech of Allah, who is the creator, and the speech of the humans, who are creation? So just because we affirm Kalamullah, just because we affirm that Allah speaks, and we also know that humans speak, this doesn't necessitate any comparison between them. And the principle we have in this is the saying of Allah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah said in the Quran, there is nothing equal or comparable to Allah, and He is As-Sami', the one who hears, Al-Basir, the one who sees. We affirm that Allah hears, we affirm that humans hear, but we say, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, but nothing is equal to Allah. We affirm that Allah sees, we affirm that people also see, but we say, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, but there is nothing comparable to Allah. So just because we affirm in real apparent terms these attributes of Allah, and people also have these attributes, it does not necessitate a comparison between Allah and between the rest of creation. And that is a basic principle with regards to this. So the Quran and the rest of the divine books, all of them were the speech of Allah. All of them are the speech of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke with the Quran in reality. And this Quran, this speech of Allah, was heard by Jibreel alayhi salam. And then Jibreel alayhi salam, he would come down and reveal the speech of Allah upon the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah said in the Quran, in Surah Shu'ara, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ. That الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ, the trusted spirit, i.e. Jibreel alayhi salam, he came down with it, meaning he came down with the speech of Allah. عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ, upon your heart, he revealed it upon your heart, لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ, so you can be from the warners. The revelation, it used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a number of ways. One of the ways that used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that whilst he was sitting with his companions, whilst he was sitting with his wives, for example, and his household, all of a sudden he would enter into a coma-like state. And sweat would be pouring from his blessed forehead sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this was Jibreel alayhi salam putting revelation into his heart. And Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha and others amongst Zawjat al-Nabi, they mention the state that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to be in, and how severely cold his body would become, or how hot his body would become, and how much sweat would come on his forehead, and so on and so forth. And then there is another mode of revelation, and that is that Jibreel alayhi salam, he used to physically come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a physical form, like he did in Mount Hira. When Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he saw Jibreel alayhi salam. And then there's also narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that sometimes he would hear like a ringing in the ear, like a very loud or sharp ringing in the ear, and this was also revelation. And these are the three types of revelation that used to come via Jibreel alayhi salam. Either it was put directly into the heart of the Prophet by Jibreel, or Jibreel would come in his form and recite it to him, like he used to do in Ramadan, and he used to practice all of the Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And sometimes he would alayhi salatu wasalam hear a sound in his ear. And the author, he said, غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ, that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, it has not been created. Because some amongst the people of innovation, they said that the Qur'an is something which has been created. Allah doesn't speak, He created the Qur'an, and then He sent the Qur'an down. And we'll mention some of the statements of the people of deviation. And the ulama, they say that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, lafzuhu wa ma'ani, the wording and the meaning. So the wording is from Allah, and the meanings are also from Allah. And they say this because some of the people of innovation at the time of the Salaf, they used to say the meanings are from Allah, but as for the wording of the Qur'an, then this is from Jibreel alayhi salam, this is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or other than Allah. So they used to say, some of them, that we affirm the meaning of the Qur'an is from Allah. But this is just an inspiration which Allah would put in Jibreel, and then the words of the Qur'an, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, this is the wording of Jibreel, and this is not the wording of Allah Jalla fil Ula. For this reason, Ahlul Sunnah, they say, Al-Qur'anu Kalamullahi lafzuhu wa ma'na, that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, it's the words of the Qur'an are the statements of Allah, and the meanings are also from Allah. غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ, and it has not been created. مِنْهُ بَدَأَ وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودِ, from Allah it came, from Allah it was initiated, and to Allah it will return. And this is a statement which is found from many of the imams of the Salaf. They would say, كَلَامُ اللَّهِ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ مِنْهُ بَدَأَ وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودِ, that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, it has not been created, from Allah it came, and to Allah it will return. And this type of statement was mentioned by Al-Lalika'i in his Sharh Usul I'tiqad Ahlul Sunnah. Minhu bada, the Qur'an, it started from Allah. How did it start from Allah? Because Allah spoke with it. So it started from Allah. And it will return to Allah. How will the Qur'an return to Allah? Towards the end of time, towards Yawm Al-Qiyamah, when only the evil people exist, and they don't implement the teachings of the Qur'an, then the Qur'an will be removed from the chests of the people, and also the masahif will be removed from the earth, and so the Qur'an will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is from one of the signs of the hour. So the alfaz, the words of the Qur'an, are the words of Allah. The huruf, the letters of the Qur'an, also Allah spoke with them. The sound of the Qur'an, Allah spoke with it. And the meaning of the Qur'an is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't say that the Qur'an is meanings from Allah, but wordings from other than Allah. And neither do we say that it is wording from Allah and meanings other than Allah. We say that the Qur'an, all of it, the wordings and the letters and the sounds and the meanings, all of it is from Allah, Jalla fil Ula. And there was a group at the time of the Salaf, at the time of Al-Imam Ahmad, and before him Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimullah. And this group, it was called Al-Mu'tazila, one of the classic sects of Al-Islam. And the Mu'tazila, they said that the Qur'an has been created, because they wanted to negate that Allah speaks. Why did they want to negate that Allah speaks? Because they had a doubt in their mind. They wanted to exalt Allah. And they said that if we affirm Allah speaks, and we also affirm that people speak, then we have belittled the status of Allah. We have made Allah, who is divine, somebody who is humanly in nature. And He speaks and people speak, so what is the difference in the status between both of them? So therefore they said that the Qur'an, it isn't the speech of Allah, neither does Allah speak, rather it is something which is created. And this name Mu'tazila, the word Al-Mu'tazila, the literal meaning of Mu'tazila is somebody who isolates himself. Al-I'tizal is to isolate yourself. And the Mu'tazila, they were called Mu'tazila because there was a gathering of Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimullah, he was from the Imams of the Tabi'een, and one of his students called Wasil ibn Ata, and also another one called Amr ibn Ubaid, i'tazalu an majalisihi, they isolated themselves from the gatherings and the lessons of Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimullah. And for this reason they were called Al-Mu'tazila. The followers of them, they were then called those who isolate themselves from Ahlul Sunnah, from the beliefs of Ahlul Sunnati wal-Jama'ah. And him, Wasil ibn Ata and the Mu'tazila, like I said, they would say that it is something which has been created. And the author said, بِجَمِيعِ جِهَاتِهِ, that the Qur'an, it is a speech of Allah, it is not created in any of its modes. Meaning, that which is written in the Mus'haf, those words are the speech of Allah. And when the Qari recites, those words which he recites, this is the speech of Allah. And what you hear, this hearing of yours, this is the speech of Allah. And the hafiz of the Qur'an, what he memorizes, this is the speech of Allah. So the point is that those words and those meanings, in any of its mode, whether it is written or heard or memorized or recited, in all of its modes and modalities, it is the real speech of Allah. And with regards to the speech of Allah, there are various deviant sects or various different sects. First of all, the statement of Ahlul Sunnah, and they said that it is the real speech of Allah. It is not created. From him it came, and to him it will return. And the meanings and the wordings and the letters and the sounds, all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah said. Al-Quran, Kalamullahi, غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ مِنْهُ بَدَى وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودُ أَلْفَاظُهُ وَمَعَانِيهُ وَحُرُوفُهُ وَصَوْتُهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. The wordings, the words, the letters, the meanings and the sound is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second group are the Mu'tazila. And the Mu'tazila, they said that the Qur'an is created. It isn't the speech of Allah and it is something which is created. And at that time, the ulama of the Salaf, amongst them Al-Imam Ahmad, they considered the Mu'tazila to not be Muslims. Some of the ulama like Al-Imam Ahmad, they considered the Mu'tazila to have exited the religion of Al-Islam. Why? Because it necessitates disbelieving that which Allah has mentioned in the Qur'an. And Al-Imam Ahmad, he said, مَنْ قَالَ الْقُرْآنُ مَخْلُوقٌ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. Whoever says that the Qur'an, it is created, then he is a disbeliever. And then a third group, and amongst them is Al-Juwayni, Imam Al-Haramain, he said that the Quran, which is the speech of Allah, just the wordings, meaning the wordings are the speech of Allah, but as for the meanings, they are not the speech of Allah. And that's something which was strange. And then the fourth group are the Asha'ira. The Asha'ira, who are here present day Asha'ira, and many amongst the Ummah from the Ahnaf and some of the Shafi'ah, they are Asha'ira. They said that Allah speaks, so they affirm Kalamullah, they affirm the speech of Allah. But they say that the speech of Allah isn't real, literal speech like Ahlul Sunnah believe, rather it is something which is metaphorical. And therefore the Qur'an, it is the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, meaning it is meanings inspired by Allah. And as for the physical words of Allah, then this is either from Jibreel, or either from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or Jibreel read it from Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. And these statements, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he has mentioned them, who amongst the Asha'ira, they said this. So they said that Kalamullah, the speech of Allah, it is metaphorical. It is like knowledge. So just as knowledge is an independent attribute of Allah and it cannot be heard because it's knowledge, then like this speech. Speech is an independent attribute of Allah which cannot be heard, i.e. it is mere meanings. So when it is said to them, okay, this Quran that we have in front of us now, and we say this is Qala Allah, Allah says. So how can we say, how has this Quran come to us? They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forced the meanings upon Jibreel alayhi salam, and he forced the wording upon Jibreel alayhi salam, and it was Jibreel alayhi salam who came out with the wording, and it wasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the statement of the Asha'ira. Also, there's an issue, and that is with regards to as-sawt. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He spoke with the Qur'an, did He speak with as-sawt? And as-sawt is translated as a sound or a voice which is heard. If it's correct to translate it as voice, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke with the Qur'an, did He speak the Qur'an with a sound or a voice which is heard? And Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they affirm for Allah as-sawt. They affirm for Allah that He spoke with a sound or He spoke with a voice. And again, the same principles apply. We affirm that Allah has as-sawt, and we also affirm that some of creation amongst the humans and the animals have as-sawt, but there's no comparison between the sound of the voice of Allah and the sound of creation. Just like there's a difference between my voice and your voice, and my sounds and your sounds, and this is the difference between creation and creation, human and human. Then, of course, there is a great difference between the Creator and the rest of creation. Of course, the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah, the aqeedah of the Imams of the Salaf, it has to be taken from evidences. Especially when it comes to the attributes of Allah. We can't just bring about a ruling. There has to be an evidence, an authentic evidence from the Quran or the Hadith, which affirms this attribute of sawt for Allah. And in the Hadith in Sahih Bukhari, في كتاب التفسير, in the book of التفسير, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, يقول الله عز وجل يوم القيامة, that Allah عز وجل, He will say on يوم القيامة, يا آدم, O Adam, and so Adam will say, لبيك ربنا وسعديك. So Adam عليه السلام will say, here I am answering your call, O my Lord. فَيُنَادِي بِصَوْتٍ, and then Allah calls out بِصَوْت, Allah calls out with a sawt, meaning Allah calls out with a voice, or Allah calls out with a sound which can be heard. And Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكَ أَن تُخْرِجَ مِن ذُرِّيَّتِكَ بَعْثًا إِلَى النَّارِ, that Allah orders you to take a group from your offspring towards the fire. And this hadith, it is in Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Tafsir, and also in Sahih Muslim, in the book of Al-Iman. So therefore, a sawt, Allah having a voice, or words which were heard, or a sound when He spoke, this is something which has been established in the authentic hadith. And also, al-qawl, speaking, it necessitates a sound which is heard. So when we hear in the Quran, Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ, when your Lord said, وَإِذْ نَادَى رَبُّكَ, and when your Lord called out, then calling out and speaking, all of this affirms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has a voice or a sound which is heard. And therefore, the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah when it comes to the Quran, as mentioned by the two Imams, Al-Raziyain, is Al-Quranu Kalamullah, Quran is the speech of Allah, لَفْظُهُ وَمَعْنَاهُ, it's words and its meanings, وَأَنَّهُ مُنَزَّلْ غَيْرَ مَخْلُوقٍ, and it is descended from Allah, it has not been created, مِنْهُ بَدَى وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودٍ, and from Him it came, to Him it will return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spoke with those words of the Quran. Jibreel alayhi salam used to hear it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then He used to bring it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and reveal it upon the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then this is how the Quran came to us. And then the next issue is the statement of the author. He said, وَالْقَدْرُ خَيْرُهُ وَشَرُّهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ, that the third tenet of the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah is that the qadr, the decree of Allah, all of it, the good and the bad, it is from Allah. Meaning, everything which occurs in this world, in this universe, the good and the bad, the khair and the shar, all of it has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah decreed for iman to exist and righteous deeds to exist, and He also decreed for sinning to exist and evil to exist and kufr to exist and so on and so forth. And there are many evidences which establish the qadr or the decree of Allah. Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدْرٍ, verily everything we have created by the qadr, with a decree, meaning the good and the bad. And Allah said in the Quran, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, that Allah created everything and then He gave it its correct decree or estimation. And also in the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, when Jibreel asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ, O Muhammad, tell me about Iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned the six pillars of Iman, and the sixth of him, he said, وَأَن تُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ, that you believe in al-qadr, you believe in the decree of Allah, the good and the bad, everything which exists, it is from Allah Jalla fil Ula. And there are many evidences which prove this. And when it comes to the decree or the qadr of Allah, we have to believe that the decree of Allah, it takes place in four steps. There are four steps when it comes to the decree of Allah. The first step is al-ilm, knowledge, meaning before anything ever occurred, before all of creation, before anything existed, Allah knew everything which was going to occur. And secondly, al-kitaba, Allah wrote everything, meaning Allah wrote everything in al-lawh al-mahfuz. And thirdly, al-irada, that when it then comes to the time for it to occur, then Allah wills for it to occur. That time, what Allah already knew and what Allah wrote, that in 2018 at 8 o'clock, the people were going to come together in this Masjid Nelson. When it comes for the time to that happen, then Allah wills for it to happen. And then the fourth stage is al-khalq wal-ijad, that Allah then executes it and creates it and allows it to happen. And the ulama, for example, they give an example. Let's say we have this phone and I drop this phone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before He created me and the phone and the rest of the world, He knew that at this time I was going to drop this phone. And after knowing this, it was written in al-lawh al-mahfuz that I was going to drop this phone at this time in this place. And then just before it happened, Allah willed for it to happen. And then this will was executed and I dropped the phone. And these are the four stages of al-qadr. The first stage is al-ilm. And that is that you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before creation, He knew everything which was going to occur. So He knows that which occurred in the past, and that which is occurring now, and that which will occur in the future, and that which will not occur, if it occurred, how it would occur. All of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Even those things which are not going to occur, had they occurred, Allah knows how they would occur, even though they are not going to occur. And like, for example, the saying of Allah, Allah said in the Quran, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ, that the kuffar on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will say to Allah, oh, our Lord, return us back to the dunya so we can do righteous deeds. Allah says, if they were to be returned back, لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ, they would go back to doing that which they were forbidden from. So they are not going to be returned back. But Allah knows with knowledge that if they were to be returned back, this is what would occur. And therefore we say, Allah knows everything in the past, and Allah knows everything which is happening now, and Allah knows everything which is going to happen up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And Allah also knows that that which will never occur, if it occurred, how it would occur. And what does Allah know? Allah has complete knowledge of the dhawat, the essence, the physical forms of the animals and the world and the trees and the humans. He also knows the attributes. He also knows our actions, what our actions are. He knows every movement and He knows every sukut, every moment of relaxation when there's no movement. He knows all of it. And then the second level is al-kitaba. And that's it. That is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 50,000 years before creation, He wrote everything in al-lawh al-mahfuz, in the preserved tablet. And this is also mentioned in a number of hadith. Allah said in the Quran, Allah said, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Do you not know that Allah knows everything in the heavens and the earth? إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَاب. All of this is in a book. In a book, a Allah al-Mahfud. Also, in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in Sunan Abi Dawood, Allah says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمُ. The first thing which Allah created was the pen. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ أُكْتُبْ. And then He said to the pen, write. So the pen said, وَمَا أَكْتُبْ يَا رَبِّي. What shall I write, O my Lord? And then the pen, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُكْتُبْ مَقَادِيرَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى تَقُومَ السَّاعَةِ. That write the details of all of creation up until يوم القيامة occurs. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلَائِقِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wrote the details of all of creation before it was created by 50,000 years. So this is with regards to the writing. The third step is al-irada, that Allah wants and wills for everything to occur. Everything which He knew and everything which He wrote, He then wills and wants for it to happen. And had Allah not willed or wanted it to happen, then it would not happen. And then the fourth level is al-khalq wal-ijad, that then He finally executes it and allows the actual action to occur and happen. Now, when it comes to the will of Allah and Allah wanting everything to occur, this is where the qadariya, those people who deviated with regards to the qadr, this is where they deviated. They said, how can we say that Allah wills evil to happen? How can we say that Allah wants shirk to occur? Allah wants oppression to occur? How can we say that Allah wills kufr to occur? If we affirm irada, if we affirm that Allah wills and wants for everything to occur before it occurs, then that means that Allah oppresses and Allah allows kufr and shirk and so on and so forth. So this was their main reason. If we say Allah wills everything to occur, good and evil, good and bad, including sinning and oppression and kufr and shirk and bid'ah, then this is belittling the status of Allah. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they say that al-irada, the will of Allah, it is two types. There are two types when it comes to the will of Allah. The first type is al-irada al-diniya al-shar'iyya. And this is what Allah loves to occur on the basis of the Sharia. What Allah loves and wants to occur on the basis of the Sharia. And this sometimes occurs and sometimes it does not occur. For example, does Allah want people to have iman? Yes, He does. On a shar'i basis, on a religious basis, He loves and He wants for iman to become spread. Does everybody accept iman? No, they don't. Does Allah love al-ihsan? Does Allah love goodness and acts of goodness? Yes, He does. But does this always occur? Do everybody do actions of goodness, al-ihsan? No, they do not. So this is the first will of Allah. And this is what Allah loves and wants to happen on a religious basis. And then the second type is al-irada al-kawniya, is the universal decree of Allah. And this may be something which Allah loves or Allah hates, but it has to occur. Allah has decreed that it will occur, whether He loves it or He hates it. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hates oppression, but yet He allows it to occur, because nothing can occur without the decree of Allah. Allah, if something occurred without the decree of Allah, then this negates the godliness of Allah. It negates the omnipotence of Allah. It negates the divine nature of Allah, the all-powerful nature of Allah. So the irada kawniya, the universal decree of Allah, is something which Allah loves or may not love, but it will occur. So as I mentioned, Allah does not love for stealing to happen, and yet it happens. And we don't say that Allah loves for it to happen. Why? Because this is irada kawniyya. This is the universal decree of Allah. This isn't al-irada shar'iyya, that which Allah loves. So just because Allah decrees for something to happen, it doesn't mean that He loves for it to happen. He still hates it, and He still punishes those who do it, but He decrees for it to happen. And everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees, everything, it has a hikmah. Now, we say that everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees, it has a wisdom behind it. As I mentioned, there were certain groups or sects which deviated with regards to the decree of Allah. So the Qadariya, they were a group, or the starting of this group occurred towards the end of the time of the Sahaba. After the majority of the Sahaba had passed away, there was an emergence of the people who negated the decree of Allah. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, some person came to him and they said to him, Ya Aba Abdurrahman, O Aba Abdurrahman, there are a group of people, I think in Iraq, and they say, La Qadr, they say there is no decree of Allah. Wal Amru Unuf, and everything, it happens suddenly. Meaning Allah doesn't know, and things occur suddenly, and then Allah knows afterwards. Again, for that reason that they didn't want to ascribe this evil or the bad things to Allah. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, أَخْبِرْهُمْ بِأَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَهُمْ بُرَآءٌ مِّنِّي, that go inform them that I am free from them and they are free from me. And he said, لَوْ أَنْفَقُوا مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا مَا قُبِلَ مِنْ, that if they were to donate the amount, the size of the amount of Uhud in charity, it would not be accepted from them, meaning they are kuffar. So those who negated the knowledge of Allah and the decree of Allah, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma considered them to be kuffar. Why? Because they are negating one of the primary attributes of Allah, and that is Allah knows everything. They believe in a God who knows some things and doesn't know some things, and therefore they are kuffar. And they are ghulat al-qadariya. They are the most extreme of the qadariya. Then there was another group of the qadariya, but they were slightly less extreme. And they believe that Allah knows and decrees everything, but He doesn't will for it to happen, and He doesn't create the actions of the people. He said that people, they create their own actions. And the people have a will which is external to the will of Allah. So they believe that yes, Allah knew everything and He wrote everything, but the actions Allah did not create, and the will of the people or the evil which occurs, this Allah does not will. And they are also from the Qadariya, but they are less extreme from the Qadariya. And those, the ulama from the Salaf, they consider them to be mubtadi'a, innovators, but not kuffar. And for this reason, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimullah, he authored his book, خلق أفعال العباد, that Allah has created people and the actions of the people because of this fitna. And then there's a third group called the Jabariya, and the Jabariya, they oppose the Qadariya. They say that humans do not have a will. Rather, we are majboor, we are forced to do whatever Allah decrees. We do not have any will, any choice. We are forced to do either good or evil. And as for Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, then they believe that Allah decrees, and they believe in the four steps of the decree of Allah, Al-Ilm, Wal-Kitaba, Wal-Irada, Wal-Ijad, Wal-Khalq. And they believe that Allah has the supreme decree, and humans also have a choice, and the choice and the decree and the will of the people is under the decree of Allah. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that you do not will except what Allah has willed, Rabbul Alameen. And in this ayah, Allah affirmed, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ, He affirmed a will and a choice of the people, and He also affirmed a will of Allah. And there are two particular points that we end with. The first of the points is that although we say good and evil, good and bad, Allah has willed and created and decreed all of it to happen, there are some other hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ negates evil from Allah. So for example, in the hadith al-Qudsi, Allah says, Ya ibadi, inni haramtu dhulma ala nafsi وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تُظَالِمُوا. Allah says, O my slaves, I have made dhulm forbidden upon myself, and I have made it forbidden between each other, between you, so do not oppress each other. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكِ. He said, O Allah, evil is not attributed to you. So how can we say that Allah decrees all of good and all of bad, and then at the same time we say the Prophet said evil is not ascribed to you? And there are a number of answers that we can give. Firstly, there is nothing in this world which is sharrun mahdh. There is nothing in this world which is pure evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He did not create pure evil. Everything which He has created, it is relative. So from one angle it is good, and there is a wisdom behind it. And from one angle it is evil, and there is oppression behind it. Take for example, killing. Killing in of itself, is it pure evil, all of it? No, it is not. From an angle there is goodness in killing, and from an angle there is evil in killing. So for example, killing an animal in the name of Allah to eat, this is goodness. The fighting which takes al-jihad fi sabilillah, this is goodness. The killing of al-hudud, the corporal punishments of the sharia, this is wisdom and goodness. On the other side, murder and genocide and killing which occurs and violence, this is evil. So first of all, there is nothing which we consider to be sharrun mahd. There is nothing which is absolute evil and something which has no wisdom behind it. Secondly, if we were to say that there is something which is pure evil, then it would be Iblis. A person might say, okay, Iblis, can we not say that he is now pure evil? And even when it comes to Iblis, then we don't say that Iblis is pure evil. From one side, there is wisdom in the creation of Iblis, and from the other side, there is evil in Iblis. So Allah creating Iblis was due to a wisdom. And anything which contains wisdom, it is goodness. So when we say Allah decreed for Iblis to take place, or for evil to take place, or for kufr to take place, from the angle of Allah willing it, it was goodness because it was due to wisdom. From the angle of people doing these actions, then it is evil. The ulama, they give an example. Sheikh Abdulaziz al-Rajihi mentions, had it not been for kufr and sinning and the creation of Iblis, there would be no jihad fi sabilillah. This great worship of Allah, al-jihad fi sabilillah, it would not occur. Why? Because there's no kufr and there's no Iblis and there's no ma'asiyah. There would be no al-wala wal-bara. Associating and disassociating on the basis of Islam, it would not occur. Why? Because there's no kufr, there's no sinning. There would be no love and hatred for the sake of Allah. If there's no kufr and there's no sinning and innovation, then how do we hate for the sake of Allah? There would be no da'wah. How can we give da'wah when there's no sinning and there's no evil? There would be no al-amr bil-ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. More than this, if there was no sinning, then there would be no forgiveness. Al-maghfirah, and Allah being al-ghafoor and al-raheem and al-ra'oof and al-tawwab and repentance, all of this would not occur. Why? Because there's no sinning. So if there's no sinning, then what's the need for Allah being al-ghafoor, al-raheem, and there being forgiveness and repentance, so on and so forth. Also, if there was no evil which occurred, then the names of Allah which show His greatness, like Al-Qahhar, He's the one who subjugates and He's the one who gives victory, then all of these would also not occur. So we see that even in the existence of Iblis, Allah decreed Iblis and Kufr to take place. From the angle of Allah decreeing, there is wisdom and therefore it is good. And therefore evil, it is not ascribed to the decree of Allah. Because the decree of Allah in everything, it's only goodness. But when it comes to the actions of the people, this is where the evil, it takes place. Secondly, and this is what the ulama say, they say that the evil, it is fil maqdur, la fil qadr. That the evil isn't in the decree of Allah, because the decree of Allah is based upon wisdom. But the evil is in that which takes place when it has been decreed. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in the Quran, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. That Allah is not questioned for what He does, it is the people who are questioned. So we don't question the decree of Allah, because the decree of Allah, all of it is based upon hikmah. And the opposite of hikmah is dhulm. So in the Sharia we have a dhulm, oppression, and we have hikmah. Hikmah is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the good and the bad of decree, that which He has decreed, it is only hikmah. And dhulm is what takes place with people. The final point, and we finish with this, is if we say that Allah has decreed everything to occur, He knew about it, He wrote it, He decrees who's in Jannah, He decrees who's in the fire, He wills for it to happen, He creates it, then can we not use the decree of Allah as an excuse to do sinning? Meaning, can people justify sinning and kufr by using the decree of Allah? You say to a person, you should be praying. He says, it's the decree of Allah that I don't pray. Allah knew this and He wrote it that I would not be from those people who pray. And again, there are many answers for this. Firstly, this is something which negates aql. A person's intellect and logic, it negates it. Why is it that people justify their sinning with the decree of Allah, and they don't justify their good deeds with the decree of Allah? Meaning, why does that person sin and then says this is the decree of Allah? Why doesn't that person do righteous deeds and say this is the decree of Allah? That person, we say to him, go pray. And he says, I don't pray because Allah has decreed for me not to pray. Why doesn't he pray and then say that the reason I'm praying is because Allah has decreed for me to pray? So why is it that Al-Qadr, the decree of Allah, is only used in sinning and not used in good deeds? Secondly, why is it that the Qadr of Allah is only used in the matters of the religion and not used in the matters of the dunya? So does anybody sit at home and not work, not educate, does not educate his children, does not get married, then he says, but Allah will decree my wealth and Allah will decree my children to come and Allah will decree my rizq? No. Every single person goes and works and tries hard and educates himself and his children. So they don't use the decree of Allah when it comes to the actions of the dunya, but they use the decree of Allah when it comes to the actions of the akhirah. Thirdly, before you do the sin, you don't know what the decree of Allah is. So how can you then use the decree of Allah as an excuse? Meaning, do the righteous action and then say Allah decreed for this to happen. Don't do an evil action, then say Allah decreed for this to happen. Because before Allah decreed it, you didn't know what Allah decreed. And then finally, this is also what the mushrikeen used to say. This is the doubt of the mushrikeen. Allah said in the Quran, سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. That the people of shirk, they will say, had Allah willed, we would not commit shirk. Had Allah willed, our forefathers would not commit shirk. Had Allah willed, we would not prohibit anything. And then Allah says, كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. That this is just as, this is how those who came before them used to disbelieve and lie. This is the same lies that they came out with. حَتَّى ذَاقُوا بَأْسَنَا. Up until they tasted our punishment. قُلْ هَلْ عِنْدَكُمْ مِنْ عِلْمٍ فَتُخْرِجُوهُ لَنَا. Say to them, do you have knowledge regarding the decree of Allah that you can bring out for us? So how can you use the decree of Allah as a justification for your sins? Also, if we say that everything has been decreed, then what is the point of Allah ordering people to do goodness and forbidding them from doing evil, if Allah has already decreed good and evil? What is the point of Allah creating Jannah and creating the fire? What is the point of Allah sending prophets, messengers and books? What is the point of Allah creating reward and creating punishment if everything has already been decreed? What is the point of Allah promising reward and threatening with punishments if everything has already been decreed and we can use it as a justification for our sinning? And finally, the Sahaba, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said to him, O Messenger of Allah, if everything has already been written, then why do we need to do good actions? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلٌّ مُيَسِّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. He said, do your actions, because everybody, it will be made easy for him that which he has been created for. So If Allah has decreed for you to be from the people of Jannah, do the actions of the people of Jannah and Allah will make it easy for you. And if Allah has decreed for you to be from the people of Jahannam and you're going to do the actions of the people of Jahannam, then you will be allowed upon this path. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. That those people who give in the way of Allah, those people who have at-taqwa, those people who believe in goodness, we will make it easy for them. The path of goodness will be easy for them. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. And those people who are stingy and greedy, وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and they disbelieve in the goodness, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى, then we will make the difficult path easy for them. So these are some of the answers which can be given to those people who use the decree of Allah as his justification for sinning. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَسَلَّمُ.